This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Dan Bluestone joins me live in studio. He is the director of the Architectural Preservation Program at the University of Virginia and involved with the Save McIntyre Park effort here in Charlottesville. But before we talk about all that, a little something is coming up starting April 9th. That's Preservation Week. What is that?
Coy, the local coalition of preservation groups have put together now for the second year in a row an incredible week of workshops, lectures, exhibitions, and we'll be having people get together and talk about preservation issues in our community. One of the things that we're really featuring this year is an exhibit that is opening tomorrow at the Community Design Center that really chronicles the history and the development of the downtown mall, Lawrence Halprin's incredible design for that. And interestingly, the way we actually got into that, as you may recall, was a number of people actually thinking that we shouldn't replace every single brick on the downtown mall. And I've heard from a number of quarters people kind of complaining about the downtown mall looking a little seedy these days. And what they think is that we threw all this salt down over the winter and that salt is still there. The truth is the salt's not coming from outside of the bricks. It's coming from inside of the bricks. When you replace every single brick on the downtown mall, instead of preserving and patching and being good stewards for that with basic light-handed maintenance, you get new bricks in there that leach salt. And it's going to be looking kind of white and washed out the way it is for years to come.
No kidding. Well, I never heard about this.
So we maybe should
use that. So there's salt in the bricks.
That's right. That in the clay, there's salt that begins to leach out when you lay them out on the mall.
So that's
like
why
that.
They look sort of whitewashed in some places.
That's right. It's not the salt that we were using over the winter. That's the way it's going to be long after many, many rainstorms. This is it was part of the argument. We felt that Halprin's design had a real aesthetic character and integrity to it that ought to be preserved, and that if we'd just come up with a system of doing routine maintenance rather than this notion of coming in, pulling up every single brick and replacing them. If you recall, initially, the plan was to replace them with much smaller bricks, and we said that we felt strongly, and I think there's no question that would have fundamentally changed the aesthetic character of the mall in its sense of being a place to gather and a place to be. And Halprin thought about the size of those bricks. We had those bricks. We pulled up every single one of them, and at least we replaced them with ones that are roughly comparable in size, but they're full of those salts that are going to be leaching out.
So you're not happy with the effort?
I think we did the best that we could. We managed to modify the designs that were in place. And as I say, if people would come down and to the Charlottesville Community Design Center underneath the Market Street parking garage there, a great exhibit that's been put together with National Endowment for the Arts funding that really chronicles the design character and nature of that space. And that's what preservation is about at the end of the day, is helping people understand and be in touch with the architectural and the landscape character of place in a way that they grow a greater sense of connection and a greater sense of attachment to place. And that's what the preservation movement is doing. We're going to be chronicling that through a number of workshops, exhibits over the middle part of April here.
And you can see the complete calendar of Preservation Week here in Central Virginia, April 9th through the 17th, online at ppiedmont.com. For Preservation Piedmont, ppiedmont.squarespace.com. That is a mouthful. ppiedmont.squarespace.com. Put this downtown mall in historic context here. Because a lot of malls went in the 70s. It was sort of like a vogue kind of thing to do to save your inner city. But they didn't work out in many places, and a lot of people have pulled up their bricks, right?
That's right. I mean, this is I think there were between 200 and 300 malls that were put in starting in the late 1950s. And Charlottesville survived, and for a number of reasons. One is the extraordinary design that Halprin put in place, but also the basic 18th century character. Everyone looks at downtown and it looks, well, maybe late 19th, early 20th century. What we occupy when we're downtown is a grid of streets 66 feet wide on the east-west street, 33 feet wide on the north-south street, one-acre blocks. That's an 18th-century form for this town. It was established in 1762, and it's been held consistent ever since. And those smaller, more intimate blocks are really one of the things that contributes to the success of the mall and to the sense of place and character of the downtown.
Interesting. We're talking with Dan Bluestone of the University of Virginia. And speaking of historic preservation and the idea of preserving communal spaces that weave a community together, what's the latest on McIntyre Park?
Well, today, a number of the people that are part of the Coalition to Preserve McIntyre Park had another meeting with the city attorney. This is what's going on. You've probably seen in the press, every time the Chamber of Commerce has written a letter in the last few weeks, it's become headline front page news in the Daily Progress. And it's their letters have been part of a campaign of fairly shrill, over-the-top advocacy of moving ahead right away, moving ahead. And this is what's going on. There are a number of people in town, and as well as people connected with Virginia preservation organizations, the National Trust for Historic Preservation, advocacy groups around the country, who look at what is happening to McIntyre Park and feel confident that it is illegal. In 1966, both as part in the Department of Transportation Act and in the National Historic Preservation Act, people tried to put in place basic protections of historic resources and park resources so they wouldn't be run over and plowed under by federally funded projects. And as you know, we're what we've seen play out for this highway proposed to be coming through McIntyre Park is a process whereby we carefully segment, or the highway builders, they carefully segmented different parts of it to suggest that the federal money wasn't actually implicated in destroying the park, destroying historic resources.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet, that highway would not be built without the federal money to pay for the interchange. Everyone knows that. So we're
it really is
this
a shell
kind of game.
It's like, I'm going to put a door here and a window here and a roof here, but I'm not building a house.
Not building a house.
It looks like a house, but I'm just building a door here and a window here and a roof here. And
Corey, you're absolutely right. And so this is what's going on now is that the people that believe that this is illegal can't actually contest it in court until the final sign-offs on the interchange. Even though the consultants have spent millions of dollars designing this, the final sign-off has not taken place. We think this is partly by design. The idea is to let VDOT into the park, have them start cutting down trees, plowing up a roadbed, and then have the final sign-off on the interchange. And at that point, we'll go into court, and the judge will look at us and say, you're trying to protect the park? It's been destroyed by VDOT. How could you possibly be here? And so there's actually an effort to render that moot, to take all of the federal protections that are in place and to say, well, those are in place, but you can't go to court until after the park's been destroyed. And that's what segmentation is doing. So,
And you're claiming that the Chamber of Commerce interest, Free Enterprise Forum, that's what they're trying to do here.
Absolutely. I think there's no question. They're saying, oh, we've got to move ahead. We want jobs. We need to do a gateway to downtown. They're not designing a gateway to downtown. They're designing a gateway to Pantops. And their constant banter is, or their constant assertion is, we want pro-business, low-tax policies in this town. And yet this interchange has become the most bloated, over-budget public works project in our community in years and years and years. It's shot right past the federal earmark, and we're now $8, $10 million over that. The reason it's so expensive is not because we're delivering people to downtown. It's because we've decided this interchange needs to pick up a length of 250 that is the length of the downtown mall and raise it 25 to 30 feet in the air. And our view, or members of the Coalition to Preserve McIntyre Park, are saying that kind of damage to the park that's going to be created by the elevation of 250 is not serving the interest of downtown. It's actually putting downtown at a competitive disadvantage because all of the ramps are sending people over to Pantops. That's why it's such a huge, bloated, overscaled interchange.
And this becomes, by default, the Eastern Connector.
Absolutely.
That won't get built.
Remember that Eastern Connector? That was a condition that we had for building this road.
Didn't the city say, we're not going to sign off on this parkway until we build the Eastern Connector?
So here we are, getting ready to build this road, and the county hasn't delivered on anything other than delivering 24,000 cars a day to Melbourne Road and then saying, oh, you don't want us to go through the park? Okay, we'll just dump them out right here on Melbourne Road. So our position has been that the no trees should be cut, no grading of the road south of Melbourne Road until this entire project has received all of the necessary approvals, and that the people who are going to take this to court get a chance to get into court. Because I think the worst thing for our community will be that they start cutting trees, grading the roadway, and then the people who are fighting this win in court, and we will have destroyed the park, spent untold millions of dollars doing it, and we're still not going to have the road that some people on council think we ought to have.
We're talking with Dan Bluestone of the University of Virginia, the very latest on the Meadow Creek Parkway and McIntyre Park. Yeah,
the resolution is going to be presented to the council, I think, on the 19th of April. It's not in this next meeting, but the meeting after that. And what we hope is that fairness will prevail and that we basically will be looking before we leap into the final.
Because the city knows you're going to sue, right?
I think everybody does, and that's, again, why the Chamber of Commerce is being so over the top and aggressive.
Because they know there's a legal suit coming, and they want to get the bulldozers in there before there's a lawsuit.
But, I mean, the arguments they're making just beg credulity. I mean, this notion that somehow this is going to be a gateway to downtown is a joke. This is a highway interchange that's going to look just like the highway interchange on 250 over Emmett Street. That's not a gateway to downtown. That's a highway interchange. And that's the real difference between what we're advocating for preservation and trying to save the park. We're trying to create places that our citizens can actually be in, that they can enjoy the quality of life that our community has to offer. And this highway plan is just trying to set us up to let cars pass through. It's not delivering people to downtown. It's delivering people all over the region, as you say, in this de facto eastern bypass.
Yeah. Well, and the original design back in the 60s was that it would literally be a highway that goes right through downtown from 64, the new interchange at 64, up to 29. And it was going to be literally a four-lane highway.
Yeah.
They only four-laned the part of it from the highway up to downtown on 5th Street Extended. They stopped there, but that's supposed to continue all the way up to 29.
The thing that we really need to start focusing on in our community, this you know, will free up traffic for, you know, 18 months. And then even VDOT's estimates show that Park Street is going to be as filled with cars after the construction of this 10 years down the road as it was before. And what we really are hoping is that we can begin to build Charlottesville in a way that it can accommodate a growing population without having to do all of the sprawl out in the county and without all the transportation construction. If we live more densely in the city, we will be developing a more sustainable future for our families and for our children.
So
in
you
the
had the meeting today with the city. What was the takeaway from that?
Well, that we seem to be moving toward this resolution that's basically going to say to VDOT, let's not start the construction in the park until the approvals are in hand for the interchange and until the people that are going to litigate this have actually gone into court and got their answer in court.
Are we going to see national groups involved in this litigation?
I think there's no this is this strat this flaunting of federal laws is not unique to Charlottesville. Our highway builders did not make this up. They've learned it from others. And I think there's a growing consensus that this is something that should be challenged. And the national bodies that have looked at this actually think this is ripe for litigating because somewhere we have to call the highway builders to account for their flaunting of federal protections that are supposed to protect parks, the environment, and historic resources.
Dan Bluestone, he's with Architectural Preservation with the University of Virginia School of Architecture. Dan, thank you for being here. I appreciate
the
update.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.